This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are continuing our Friday reporter roundtables, and we turn now to politics. We'll begin first with Illinois state government and politics, and for that we are joined by Dan Petrella, who covers state government and politics for the Chicago Tribune newspaper. Dan, welcome back to the 21st Show. Good to talk with you again.
Glad to be here, Brian. Always good to chat.
So the Illinois General Assembly is back in session for its spring legislative session, kind of a light calendar before the primary election anyway. But what are some of the big topics lawmakers are planning to focus on this session?
Yeah, it's interesting. They were in town this week and now they're out for a couple weeks. I don't think they'll be back until sometime in early February. But one of the big issues facing the earliest deadline is the maps and the sort of election logistics for the new elected school board for the city of Chicago. This is something lawmakers approved almost 3 years ago now, but still have not finalized the boundaries for the districts where the board members will be from and exactly how they're going to go about electing those representatives. It was originally supposed to be a transition where half the board would be elected for the first couple of years and then it would move to a fully elected board. Now there's talk of ditching that idea and going to a fully elected board later this year in November. And one of the other large issues facing lawmakers this spring is also related to the city of Chicago, and that is the ongoing migrant crisis, the influx of asylum seekers from the southern border. They're being bused and flown to Chicago by Texas Governor Greg Abbott. The city has been looking to the state for a long time now from some additional financial help. We are waiting to see, first of all, if the state can come up with some money to sort of backfill money they shifted around in the budget in the fall to cover some of those expenses, and whether they're going to be able to provide the city more funding to help with that effort.
Yeah, let's talk more about this migrant situation. So it's what now? I don't know if you have the latest numbers, but like tens of thousands of people that Texas has bused or flown to Chicago and now some of the outlying areas and dropping them off as Chicago is fighting with the bus companies that are doing some of this work. But what is the state being asked to do? Pony up a lot of money, basically, right?
Yes, essentially. So it's total arrivals since August of 2022 is more than 34,000, almost 35,000 people now. And many of those people have either moved on to other places or are in apartments where they're getting temporary rental assistance from the state. But anyway, the state sort of has been taking on a role of providing sort of the social services and things. Whereas the city has been more responsible for actually sheltering folks, the city has been looking to the state for more help with the shelter aspect of things. And at this point, the city has sort of put a pause on opening new shelters back in the late fall and early winter. The state was supposed to help the city with opening a heated tent encampment that was supposed to house about 2,000 migrants. The site that the city had selected had some environmental concerns, so the governor shut that down. They now seem to have pretty much moved away from that idea. So at this point, what the governor would like is for the legislature to approve additional funding to sort of cover the $160 million that he said in the fall that he was shuffling around from different places within the State Department of Human Services budget to cover some of these migrant-related expenses. But there's a question whether there's enough support even among Democrats in the legislature to get that done.
Yeah, let's drill in on that, because I think, you know, one expects you know, Republicans to object to this sort of thing. This has become a very partisan issue nationally. And you recently had a story with your colleague Jeremy Gorner quoting the House Republican leader talking about veterans issues and other areas of funding that need money. But you are also seeing pushback from Democrats, especially members of the Black Caucus. What's going on there?
Yeah, you know, I was particularly surprised too as we were putting together our story previewing the upcoming session. To hear Don Harmon, the Senate president, who's from Oak Park, which is the, you know, near west neighbor of city of Chicago, say that, you know, really there are populations in and around the city of Chicago and elsewhere in Illinois that have been dealing with some of these same issues, poverty and homelessness and lack of healthcare and things like that that the migrants are dealing with, who haven't gotten the funding they needed. So, you know, he was hesitant to deal with a standalone sort of supplemental spending bill for just the migrant crisis without addressing some of those other issues as well. And, you know, this is something we've been hearing from some members of the Black Caucus for a while now, that they feel that the communities they represent have been, you know, dealing with lack of investment, lack of resources for, you know, generations. And, you know, they would like to see the state do more to help those communities as well.
Well, let's talk about where some of this money is going to come from. Dan, I think you and I have been covering state government for most of our careers. It's been a pretty bleak budget situation, right? We're used to writing stories about how terrible Illinois' finances are. And yet there is a projected surplus at the end of this current budget year. So is this a question of how do we spend all this extra money in state government, or how are they looking to resolve not only the migrant, you know, issue and some of the financial pressures there, but other areas where people want to spend money?
Yeah. You know, it is interesting. It's been, a few years now of some of this surplus, and some of that, you know, credit goes to the Pritzker administration for being fairly conservative in the way it estimates its revenue, and you know, doesn't maybe engage at least to the same level in some of the financial or budgetary gimmickry that previous administrations have used to you know, paper over problems
wishful budgeting of bipartisan administrations.
As I sit here in the state's new headquarters building here in Chicago, I think of the $300 million in imaginary revenue that was baked into at least one, if not two, budgets for the sale of the Thompson Center, which
became a recurring revenue source.
But you know, one of the things that we're looking at is, I believe they're projecting it'll be about $422 million surplus at the end of the current budget year in June. But then starting the next year, they're projecting the return of deficits. So I think they want to be careful about how they might spend any surplus revenue and not do it in a way that's going to create ongoing obligations that will then exacerbate budget problems going forward.
Interesting. Let's turn now to a question of state government administration. I know that sort of cabinet reorganization is not the most exciting topic, but Governor Pritzker is looking to create a new agency in state government that's going to kind of take over some of the functions of some other existing agencies, all kind of pegged around early childhood. What's that all about?
Yeah, this is really interesting. It's something that he announced in the fall, and it's, you know, early childhood education has been a real important area, something that the governor has really stressed, especially here in his second term. It was one of the highlights of the budget that he proposed for the year we're in now. This new agency would take on a variety of tasks that are now handled by a variety of state agencies, including early intervention services housed in the Department of Human Services, preschool programs that the State Board of Education oversees, and then also daycare licensing that's done by the Department of Children and Family Services. So the idea is to kind of put all these services that are in various state agencies under one roof, so that you know, people in the early childhood realm sort of have one place to go to deal with these various issues that are all sort of interconnected. And one of the hoped for advantages of the daycare licensing issue, taking that away from DCFS, would be that it would, you know, people have long advocated that that would be a way for that agency, which has had a host of problems over the years, to be able to really focus on more of its sort of core mission of, you know, child welfare and abuse and neglect investigations, things along those lines.
Interesting. Well, something we will continue to follow. We were also, I was hoping to ask you maybe about the Bears potentially moving and the White Sox potentially moving, but like them, we're probably just going to have to wait until another day to resolve that. Dan Petrella covers state government for the Chicago Tribune. Dan, thanks so much.
Thanks, Brian.
This is the 21st show, and we are continuing our Friday political roundup by turning now to the national scene. And with us for that, as always, is Linda Kenyon, who covers the Congress for Illinois Public Media. Linda, good to talk with you again. Happy Friday.
Well, happy Friday to you. Happy to be here.
So sometimes I worry that people are going to think that we are just replaying our old conversations on the show because this week the Congress once again voted to avert a federal government shutdown, but only temporarily. What happened there?
Yeah, they basically pushed the ball down the field a few more yards, or as they like to say in Washington, they kicked the can. So, yeah, the federal government did not shut down. There was a midnight deadline for a government shutdown because the agencies and departments were not yet fully funded due to an inability from members of Congress to come to an agreement on, well, pretty much anything. So it was kind of within character that there would be problems under for them to reach an agreement on government funding. Now, what happened yesterday is the Senate passed the government funding bill, a temporary or continuing resolution, continuing current funding levels it's for two different deadlines, one March 1st, one March 8th. The vote in the Senate was overwhelmingly bipartisan, 77 to 18. And then a few hours later, the House passed the bill by a large bipartisan number as well, 314 to 108. And this showed that the House really could not have passed this without bipartisan cooperation. And reaching across the aisle from the Republican majority to look upon the Democratic minority to help push the bill over to the win side, if you will, was something that was would needed to be guaranteed because the House needed to pass this bill under what they called the suspension of the rules. Now, this is a little bit inside baseball, but what it means is that it's a fast track process. Now, a bill will not come up on the floor under suspension unless there is widespread agreement on that bill. So, despite widespread outspoken opposition from members, for example, from the House Freedom Caucus, they were outnumbered. And so the bill under suspension of the rules is a fast track process, as I said, but it requires two-thirds, not a simple majority, in order to pass. And it needed to be taken up under suspension because the clock was ticking toward a government shutdown. And of course, no House Speaker will bring anything up under suspension unless he knows that it has the support, an overwhelming bipartisan support to pass. And that's what happened.
You said inside baseball. This is public radio. We love inside baseball here. But, isn't this the sort of deal that got Speaker Mike Johnson's predecessor fired by the right wing of his caucus? How is he getting these deals through and
Yeah,
surviving?
it did. It did. The House Freedom Caucus was very upset with previous Speaker Kevin McCarthy. And so they pushed through a motion to vacate, which is to oust the Speaker from the chair. And they were successful. But what ensued after that was a sort of a chaotic drama in the House about trying to get a new House Speaker who could pass the muster that was required by the House Freedom Caucus. So it was the minority of the majority party, while the majority of the majority party was not going along with the House Freedom Caucus. And after weeks of chaos and an inability to arrive at a member of the House who would be Speaker to replace Kevin McCarthy, they finally settled on Speaker Mike Johnson. Now, they like Mike Johnson because he too is a very conservative member of the Republican Party. He says he agrees with much of what the House Freedom Caucus stands for. However, he also is a pragmatist, and he knew that he just did not have the votes to, without Democratic support, to pass a bill that would avert a government shutdown. He also knew that if there were a government shutdown, the Republicans, since they're the majority party, in an election year would take the blame for a government shutdown, which, by the way, ends up costing the federal government and the American taxpayers more money, does not save money at all. So it's a very bad thing politically, and it affects a lot of people, not only those who work for the federal government, but those who serve those who work for the federal government, contractors, for example. And that's a lot of people. So Mike Johnson, yes, he took the stab at it. He knew that he had to make his point and pass this bill and do what it took. The House Freedom Caucus, not very happy with him right now. And one conservative member of Congress, who is Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia, says she's going to introduce a motion to vacate. But I think that Johnson took his chances because he said, first of all, he was not worried about that. And second of all, he knows that he has a little bit more favor than Kevin McCarthy did among the most conservative members of his party. So he took the chance and he averted a government shutdown.
And here we are. So just about a minute and a half left in our time together. You mentioned kicking the can down the road. Let's see if I can distort that old cliche even further. One can that hasn't even been kicked, it's like in a ditch a mile back up the road behind us, is funding for Ukraine and some of the other international priorities. Republicans have said they want this to be part of a big border deal. I've been reading, like, is there a way that Republicans would take yes for an answer on this? Or are they just more interested in sort of holding on to this as a political issue because they see it as winning for them?
The question is whether they want to make an issue or they want to make law. And that really is what it boils down to. There are a lot of Republicans who fully support Ukraine, especially Republicans in the Senate. And the Republicans who have been holding up Ukraine funding, which was part of an emergency supplemental spending package that was offered by President Biden, also included money to aid Israel and included money for U.S. border security. But the House Freedom Caucus and a lot of the conservative members of the House have said this is not going to pass unless we have not only money for the border, which Biden already requested, but we have more money for the border, they said. And they also say, we want to have full-scale overhaul of immigration policy in the U.S., which is a very difficult thing to accomplish and has not been accomplished for several presidential administrations. And so as a result, they are trying to hold out for the best deal they can get. And that means trying to hold up the Ukraine funding. What's going to happen with Ukraine funding? Well, it will be taken up under a different bill. And there is a bipartisan group of senators working right now, and they feel that they have a very good deal they're about to reveal in the coming days that will fund Ukraine, Israel, and will give some of those reforms that some of the conservatives have been demanding when it comes to U.S. immigration policy and by extension border security.
We'll have to see if it gets through the House, too. Linda Kenyon, thank you so much. Good to talk with you as always. More to come here on The 21st Show. Stay with us.